TV.
Greetings, everyone. Martin Zender here once again in Canton, Ohio. I am recording this on Sunday, still Sunday morning. I had to skip church to do this, but this is more important to me to talk to you than go to church. For those who don't know me very well, obviously that's a joke. No, for those who don't know me very well, it might not seem to be a joke, but it is. I haven't been to church in, I don't know, 50 years. Church is a people, not a building. So welcome to this edition of MZTV, broadcasting again live from the place of my birth, namely Canton, Ohio. Yesterday, as you're watching this, today, as I'm recording, Rodney Parris and I put out another classic from the archives, an audio I made back in, I think, 2006 about the Trinity, just smashing it to bits because it's a false teaching. It's so ironic that Christianity says that you can't be a true believer. You can't be in the body of Christ. You can't be anything unless you believe in the Trinity. You must believe that Jesus is God. The Trinity, is this a scriptural teaching? No, it's a man-made teaching, but you have to believe it or you're not anywhere. The ironic thing about this is, the truth is, you have to let go of the Trinity or there's no way you're in the body of Christ. Because an essential teaching of the body of Christ, as I have said for years, is the death of Christ. Paul holds this to be very important. I don't want to discuss the reasons today why it's important. It just is. Paul says Jesus Christ died for our sins, was entombed, and was raised the third day. But if Jesus Christ is God, or an essential part of a fictitious Godhead, then he could not have possibly died, unless God can die. And I had a Christian actually tell me, well, yes, God can die. Okay, so assuming you're not insane, you can't believe that Jesus Christ actually died. So the irony is that you can't, it's evidence that you're not in the body of Christ if you embrace the Trinity. What a difference. But so yesterday's video that Rodney Parris took the audio and put some enchanting video to it. It was broadcast yesterday. And that video will be linked down here. But the best part of the video for me was the video that Rodney put at the end. He usually takes a more recent video and puts it at the ends of these historic older videos. And so this time, I think it was MZTV 845 from November of 2021. It was called Virtue Signaling and the Trinity. So it's on a related topic. So I had not seen this video in a while. It was recorded. I recorded it 4 years ago. But what impressed me about it was I'm often impressed by my own videos. I have to admit to you, it's so God working in me that I can look at it completely objectively. Like, I don't know who this guy is, but this is pretty good. And in that video, I described those who hold to the teaching of human free will, also a terribly false doctrine that says that man saves himself by the exercise of his will. Does that sound like a spiritual teaching? That's what free will is. But I don't think I've ever encapsulated the doctrine of human free will better than I did in this video. So I'm going to play for you now just a clip from that video of me describing free will believers. You might say I'm mocking them, which is definitely true. You might say that this clip is somewhat brutal. That's not at all true. It is totally brutal. I guess that's why I like it so much. And here it is.
What about free will? It's just pure self-righteousness. Pure selfishness, self-righteousness, arrogance. Free will. Self-righteous arrogance. The worst of humanity comes out with free will. The worst of humanity. To be captain of your own fate. Fuck you, God. I don't want you bothering me. I don't want you making decisions. I don't want you controlling me in any way. Yeah, that's free will. Get out of my life, God. That's free will. I love it. I love what I just said there. It's ugly, but that's the ugly face of human free will. Get out of my life. Quit influencing things. This is my show, baby. My show. This is my show. Get out of my life. Step aside. Step back. Quit getting your fingers in my pie. Okay? Get out of town. You can watch me so I can call you sovereign, but I don't want you anywhere near influencing my freaking decisions. Do you understand? Quit being a deity. Cool your jets. That's free will. That's pure arrogance.
Oh, that does my soul good. It really does. But the topic of the day is something that a few people brought up in the Q&As recently. I think there's a lot of new subscribers, and some people are still confused on being born again. So just briefly, I want to teach on that. It's a very simple teaching. All you hear in Christianity is that they have to be born again. You have to be born again. And they can't really explain what it is. It's just like believing in Jesus with your free will. But in fact, being born again, it's taken from a quote of our Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee in Jesus' day, who approached him by night because he was afraid of his contemporaries. And he asked Jesus about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, and this is one of the rare places where the King James is very helpful. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Ye. That is the plural, Old English plural of you. So Jesus was not telling Nicodemus, you personally, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. No, no. You see, we don't have that distinction in English. If we want to say a plural, if we're talking to somebody and we say you, you need to go visit your sister today. You. Or if we're talking to a group of people, you need to visit your hometown today. You see what I mean? We use the same word. But in the Old English King James language, they have ye. And it's very helpful because the point being is that Jesus was not saying to Nicodemus personally, you, Nicodemus, personally need to be born again. No, he was saying you, Israelites, ye, plural. The nation, your nation Israel needs to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus, being the intelligent Pharisee that he was, said, oh, can a man enter his mommy's womb a second time? But Jesus shook his head and said, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't even know this? This is simple. It's from Isaiah, I think it's chapter 66. Shall a nation be born in one day? Shall a nation be born in one day? And I've been teaching you that this is what's going to happen during the tribulation. The true nation Israel will be born in one day. They will come from anonymity, from obscurity. The Spirit of God will move on them and they will become the Israel of God. They will go through the tribulation. Some of them will be martyred. And these people back here are honing in on my teaching here. They're walking the other way. I don't imagine why. Anyway, it is an Israel truth. It is the fact that God will awaken the house of Israel and the house of Judah during the tribulation and prepare them to enter into the kingdom. And it won't take 6 months of intensive training. It will not take become a regenerated Israelite in 21 days or your money back. No, in a day. And that is the new birth. The new birth, no one, I'm going to make a shocking statement, but you expect this from me. I can't help it. I do it for a living. I don't even try. No one has been born again today yet. No, nobody has ever been born again. It's not an anybody situation anyway. It's a national resurgence. Ye must be born again. But in the Concordant version, it says you, I think. But it has three lines under the you, which indicates the plural. Or maybe that's only in the sublinear Greek. I'm not sure. But anyway, I know that Jesus was speaking of the nation. Ye must be born again. And in order to understand that, God gives us a nice picture, a beautiful physical picture. Because sometimes it's harder to grasp what some people consider these abstract theological concepts. And so if we have a physical picture, then it's helpful. We do have a physical picture. The rebirth of the nation Israel corresponds to the rebirth of the earth during the millennium, during the 1,000 years. This earth is not going to be destroyed. And what I'm about to do is tell you the difference between Israel and the body of Christ. We in the body of Christ, we don't need rebirthed either personally or nationally. How could we be rebirthed nationally anyway? We're not a nation. We're the nations. We're a ragtag fugitive fleet called out of every nation, every race, every language on earth. And so God never tells us that we need to be reborn. I'm going to tell you what he does tell us before this video is out. But there is a physical correspondence, and the correspondence is the earth. This earth during the tribulation is going to be shaken, but it's not going to be destroyed. This earth is going to be regenerated. This earth is going to be reborn. God's going to take the same raw material of this earth and he's going to regenerate it. The whole earth is going to have the curse removed, and it's the whole earth is going to become like the Garden of Eden was when Adam and Eve lived happily in it. And it's going to, the curse will be removed, so you won't have any of the weeds growing. Childbirth for women, they'll be having babies without feeling anything. Ooh, what was that? Oh, you just had a baby. Oh, that's strange, I didn't feel a thing. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be in the kingdom. But the earth is going to be regenerated. Same earth. Same earth. So that will be in between eons 3 and 4. The eon 3 being this current wicked eon, Galatians 1:4. Eon 4 being the millennium, the coming Israel kingdom on earth. We, as members of the body of Christ, we are transferred to the celestial realm. And there is also a physical description of our reality. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you are a new creation. A new creation. This is not being born again. Being born again is we're going to take the same raw material and we're going to rework it. We're not going to start from scratch. We're going to reimagine who you can be. We're going to take the same raw material, reshape it, rework it, revitalize it, and make it better. Make it better. And this is the passion of every Christian I know. They want to make themselves better. They want to work on themselves. They want to take the same raw material and improve upon it. Self-improvement programs, they're all into it. I'm not saying there's anything inherently wrong with it. In fact, that's Israel's whole calling, is self-improvement. Do better. Follow the law. Yeah, right on. Follow the law. Do better. Self-improvement. We are radical people. We, as members of the body of Christ, we know that this is not about self-improvement. It is about being a new creation, because our truth is the old humanity was crucified with Christ and our humanity was considered to be dead. So we don't rework our raw material. We don't take who we are and improve upon it. We have considered ourselves to have died with Christ, Romans 6. This is the radical language of Paul. You do not find this in the Jewish gospel, in the Israel gospel. There are two gospels in the New Testament. Two, not four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four accounts of the same gospel. Galatians 2:7 makes it clear that there's a gospel of the circumcision, Israel, the gospel of the uncircumcision, Paul. Paul says, we're reworking the old material. We're not going to take the old humanity and reform it. This is not a reform school. This is not a reform program. This is a destruction program. The old humanity was destroyed at the cross by Christ, and now we're a new creation. And the physical analogy, what is analogous to that in the physical realm, is the new earth. At the end of Eon 4 and before the beginning of Eon 5, this present earth, Peter tells us, is stored with fire. It is going to be destroyed. Destroyed. And there is a new heavens and a new earth. Not so in the millennium. It's not a new earth. Not a new heavens. Same earth, same heavens, regenerated. Born again. But this is not radical enough to describe our reality. Our reality is a new creation. And what pictures that perfectly in the physical realm is the new heavens and new earth. And the destruction of this present earth at the end of Eon 4, not yet, end of Eon 4, the destruction of this earth corresponds with Paul stating that the old humanity was crucified with Christ. Your old self is done. There's no reforming it. There's no helping it. There's no propping it up. There's no building a Hollywood wall in front of it saying, I'm a new person. That appeals to the Israelite types because it's legitimate for them. It's legitimate. Even though it's a national thing, not an individual thing. But the beauty of our calling is that we are a new creation. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:11, the consummations of the eons have attained to us. In other words, everything that the eons will produce in their finest moments have come to us spiritually, including the new earth. So it's almost like we're living on the new earth, metaphorically, not in reality, but we're anticipating, that's the word I want, we're anticipating in spirit that time where everything will be made new. Paul says everything is made new, speaking very boldly in a figure, calling what is not as though it were, prolepsis. That's the figure of speech, calling what is not as though it were. All has been made new. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, all is new. There is now a new creation. All is made new. And we love this new. We love it. But you don't hear that with Jesus and Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Oh, born again. It sounds like hard work. Well, it's not going to be hard work because the Spirit of God is going to accomplish it yet. Nevertheless, it's still going to be a reworking of the old material. We're done with the old material, according to our gospel. But this is not what I'm talking about with the new birth. It's the Israel gospel. It's not our gospel. But I hope that today I've helped you to be able to distinguish between these two gospels. I hope so. That was my goal. So don't forget to watch the entire video yesterday. It's very helpful. The Trinity is a damaging teaching, a very deceptive and destructive teaching that denies, I tell you, denies the death of Christ. So we are going to, Maria and I, well, by the way, here's a cute picture of Maria and our two grandkids, Theo and Liam. This was in rural Marion, Ohio yesterday. We had a wonderful time, great time. Maria and I are flying back to Florida late Monday. So I might have to make another video ahead of time here from Canton. Beautiful weather here today. I mean, very thankful for that. Anyway, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, the show must and will go on.